Okay, so ready to jump in. Today we're going deep on something super important, like really crucial stuff. We're talking about climate change and how it's all tied up with the health of folks in Malawi.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a connection we really got to understand. Big implications.
For sure. And we've got this this new report from the Walker Institute that's at the University of Reading. They've really dug into this, and we're going to do the same. But look, I know sometimes these reports can be, you know, a little data heavy, a little overwhelming.
Right.
So what we want to do is like extract the core stuff, the key insights, so you can get it quickly. You know, really understand what's going on and why it matters without getting bogged down.
Exactly. Get to the heart of it. And I think this report is very good at that, actually. It's got a clear aim to give policymakers and decision makers the info they need to make good choices about climate action. You know, especially for countries that are already facing a lot of challenges, like Malawi.
Yeah, no question. So for context, the report starts by laying out some of the historical climate issues, like what Malawi's been dealing with. And one thing that really pops out is flooding. Flooding has been like the most common type of disaster they've had to face.
Yeah, you see that really clearly in figure 15 of the report. It's looking at the period from 1990 to 2024.
Okay, so going back a bit, and then we see in figure 16, the proportion of the population that's been hit by different kinds of disasters.
Right, yeah. And what's interesting there is that the disasters that involve water, things like, you know, floods and landslides, what they call hydrological disasters, they've affected the biggest chunk of the population.
Mm, that's significant. And then figure 17 tells us about the proportion of deaths that are linked to each type of hazard.
And that one's really, really striking. I mean, over half of the deaths they recorded were due to epidemics. That's, you know, infectious diseases, bacterial and viral stuff. Mm. But we also have to see that things like tropical cyclones, floods, and droughts have also played a big part in the mortality.
No question. And then to really get a sense of the geographical spread of this all, you know, how it plays out across the country, figure 18 is really key.
Yeah, totally.
It shows like the distribution of disasters in each district between 1990 and 2024.
And that really highlights the point that different regions within Malawi experience different levels of risk.
Yeah.
You know, they face different types of disasters, different mm-hmm. frequencies. It's not not a uniform picture across the whole country.
Okay, so we've got a picture of the past. But the big question, the one we really got to unpack for you, is how climate change might make these existing health problems worse in Malawi and also, you know, potentially bring about new health challenges.
Right. That's about understanding the future burden of disease, right?
Yeah.
And to get at that, the report dives into the connection between climate change and what are called neglected tropical diseases. We often just call them NTDs.
Okay, so let's break that down a bit. What's the underlying link between climate change and NTDs? Like, how does one affect the other?
Okay, so the basic idea is that changes in the climate can actually create environmental conditions that make it easier for these diseases to either, you know, appear for the first time in a place or come back to places where they used to be under control.
Got it.
So think about how, like, shifts in temperature or rainfall could affect where disease-carrying insects can live or how long parasites can survive in the environment.
Right. So it's about making the environment more suitable or maybe less suitable for those diseases.
Exactly. And this isn't just some theoretical concern, you know.
Yeah.
The World Health Organization, the WHO, they recognize this as a really big risk, and they've actually made it like a core part of their roadmap for tackling these diseases by 2030. They've said, we got to monitor how climate change is impacting NTDs.
So globally recognized. Okay. Right. Which specific NTDs does the report focus on when it's talking about Malawi?
Okay. So they zero in on six key ones. First one is human African trypanosomiasis. You might know that. It's sleeping sickness.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's caused by a parasite spread through the bite of the tsetse fly. Okay. Got it. Then there's schistosomiasis.
Mm-hmm.
That's a parasitic disease spread by freshwater snails.
Mm.
Think about swimming, washing, and contaminated water, that kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
And then there are soil-transmitted helminths.
Okay, STH.
STH, exactly.
Yeah.
Which are essentially, you know, intestinal worm infections.
Okay.
We've got lymphatic filariasis.
LF.
LF, yep. That's a parasitic disease transmitted by mosquitoes.
Okay.
Trochoma, a bacterial infection that affects the eyes.
Right.
And then the last one is onchocerciasis. Something's called river blindness.
Okay.
And that one is, again, a parasitic disease.
Got it. So those are our six. Now let's look at how climate change might impact some of these, like specifically. Let's start with HAT, the sleeping sickness.
Okay, so HAT is, it's quite sensitive to temperature. The tsetse flies that carry it, They do best in a fairly narrow temperature range, like somewhere between 20.7 and 26.1 degrees Celsius.
Okay, so not a huge window.
No, it's pretty specific. Okay. And within that range, the warmer it gets, the faster their metabolism gets, meaning they need to feed more often. So more hungry flies equals more bites, right?
Okay, yeah.
Which unfortunately means a greater chance of the parasite being transmitted.
So warmer is not good news for controlling that one. Correct. What about when temperatures get really extreme, like outside that ideal range?
Well, that's where it gets really fascinating. When you get really high temperatures above 25 degrees Celsius, or really low temperatures below 17 degrees Celsius, it actually increases the death rate for adult tsetse flies. And even hotter, like above 29 degrees Celsius, increases the mortality in the pupa, which is, you know, the immature stage of the fly.
So it's like a Goldilocks zone. It's got to be just right.
Exactly. The report also suggests that as temperatures go up, we might see tsetse flies moving to higher elevations. This has been observed in other parts of the world. And, you know, in Malawi, HAT cases are often found near game reserves, places with that kind of shady vegetation that the flies like. So any changes to those environments could play a big role, too.
Okay, so pretty complex relationship with temperature there. Let's move on to schistosomiasis. What does the report tell us about the potential climate impacts there?
So with schistosomiasis, the impact of climate change is a little less straightforward. It really depends on how water levels change in freshwater habitats, you know, because it's that parasite that relies on those freshwater snails to spread. So any changes to where those snails are living are, like, super critical.
So if there's more water, does that mean more snails, more risk?
Potentially, yeah. But here's the thing. The report also points out that more intense rainfall could lead to damage to public health facilities.
Okay.
And if those facilities are damaged, it's harder to provide health care, harder to implement any kind of control measures.
Got it.
They even give a specific example. They look at Dedza District.
Okay, what's the scenario there?
Well, in Dedza, if it gets drier, we might see a decrease in suitable habitat for the snails. You know, fewer places for them to live. And that could lead to less transmission. However, the warmer temperatures that often come with drier conditions, they could actually make the parasite develop faster inside the snails that do survive. Mm-hmm. So it's like you might have fewer snails, but the ones that are around are more efficient at spreading the disease. On the other hand, if Dedza gets wetter, the snail habitat could actually expand, leading to a greater risk of transmission.
So it's not as simple as saying, oh, more rain equals more disease, or less rain equals less disease.
No, not at all. It's this this delicate balance between where the snails can live and how quickly that parasite can develop. And both of those things can be influenced by climate change in different ways.
Okay, let's shift to soil-transmitted helminths, STH. What are the possible climate impacts there?
For STH, the report suggests that hotter, drier conditions, specifically in Chitipa District, could actually lead to a reduction in transmission.
Oh, interesting. That seems counterintuitive. How does that work?
Well, it has to do with sanitation. So in hotter, drier conditions, existing poor hygiene and sanitation practices might get worse, right? And this, kind of paradoxically, could make it harder for the worm eggs to survive in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So potentially lower transmission rates. But, and this is important, this wouldn't necessarily mean better health overall, you know?
Yeah.
Because water scarcity would likely bring about a whole other set of health problems.
Right, yeah. It's all interconnected. What about lymphatic filariasis, LF? How might climate change affect that in Malawi?
With LF, they highlight the potential impact of increased rainfall in places like Karonga and Chitipa. More rainfall can mean more breeding sites for the mosquitoes that carry the parasite, so you could see an increased risk of infection.
So more standing water, more mosquitoes, more LF risk.
Generally, yeah. But then they also mentioned something more specific for Chitipa. They say that reduced humidity could actually limit the survival of the mosquitoes outside of, like, those main waterlogged areas.
Mm.
So it's not just about rainfall creating breeding grounds. It's also about humidity affecting their ability to survive elsewhere.
Mm. Interesting interplay there. Okay, let's talk trachoma. What's the climate connection?
So for trachoma, they say less rainfall in Karonga District could potentially increase the risk.
Less rainfall. So how does that lead to more eye infections?
Well, it comes down to water scarcity, right?
Hmm.
Less rainfall can mean less access to clean water, which makes it much harder to maintain good hygiene.
Hmm.
And since trachoma is so closely linked to poor hygiene, you know, that limited access to water could increase the spread of the infection.
Makes sense. Okay, last one, onchocerciasis, river blindness. What's the potential connection there?
So for onchocerciasis, they focus again on Tutipa District, and they suggest that increased rainfall could actually make the risk higher.
Okay, and how so?
Well, this disease is spread by black flies, the kind that breed in fast-flowing rivers. Increased rainfall could lead to new breeding grounds for those black flies, or expand existing ones. And that would mean more black flies, and therefore a higher risk of transmission.
Okay, so we're seeing a pretty diverse range of potential impacts across those six NTDs. Some of them are, like, not what you might expect at first glance, and it's all driven by changes in those basic climate factors, like temperature, rainfall, and humidity.
Exactly. And the report really drives home the point that these climate changes, they don't happen in a vacuum. You know, they interact with all these other vulnerabilities that already exist in Malawi. It's not just about the direct effect of climate on, you know, the insects or the parasites.
So what are some of those other factors that are at play?
Well, first, you've got all those environmental factors, temperature, rainfall, humidity, working together to influence the vectors and the transmission cycles. Then you have human behavior, which can get thrown off by climate-related stresses like, you know, water shortages or displacement. Mm-hmm. And then, really crucially, you've got the socioeconomic challenges in Malawi. Things like, you know, widespread poverty, limited access to basic services, clean water, sanitation, all that. That makes the country much more vulnerable to these health threats. You know, it's like these factors can really amplify the impact of climate change on the transmission of NTDs. And it makes it way harder for communities to protect themselves.
So this is really valuable info. It's not just abstract science. It has real implications for people in Malawi. And, you know, understanding these potential impacts is absolutely vital for planning, for making decisions about how to use resources effectively to protect public health.
Yeah, no question.
So this deep dive, it gives us like a really solid foundation of knowledge to guide future research and, you know, most importantly, to take steps to protect people's health.
Absolutely. Get ahead of it.
Okay, so I want to leave you, the listener, with something to think about. You know, given all these potential health challenges, what kind of strategies, what innovative, collaborative stuff do you think would be most effective for building resilience, protecting vulnerable communities, all that? And I think we got to go beyond just the traditional healthcare responses, right? We got to think about those underlying vulnerabilities we've been talking about.
Yeah, it seems like we really do need to move beyond just treating illnesses, you know, as they pop up. We need to be looking at more holistic solutions. Cross-sectoral things, things that come from the community and that really target those vulnerabilities we've been talking about.
So thinking broadly beyond just medical interventions.
Exactly. It's about thinking about all the factors that contribute to health and well-being.
Right.
Things like access to clean water, good sanitation systems, food security, strong infrastructure. Mm-hmm. If we can make communities more resilient to climate shocks overall, then that's going to help protect them from these diseases as well.
Right. A much more comprehensive approach. Well, thanks so much for sharing your expertise on this. It's been a really fascinating deep dive.
Happy to do it. It's such an important topic.
And to you, our listener, we really encourage you to go check out the source material. You know, if you're interested, there's a ton of detail in that Walker Institute report.
Yeah, there's a lot more to dig into there.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
Take care.